Anyway, morning church. If you've got a Bible with you, if you'd like to open it, we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. It is rather a long scripture. I'm not going to rush it, but I'm going to speak quite fast. So we start at chapter 17, verse 1a, and we will be jumping, after I've read that, then we'll jump to verse 4 and onwards. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socho in Judah. Verse 4. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now verse 20. Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines, facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. And now we move on to verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put on a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield-bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. Thanks be to God. Amen. Second. So let's pray. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it is full of truth, full of power. It's a word, Lord, that will last forever. And so, Lord, as we put our minds to this word today, open up our hearts and our minds, that we might have a clearer understanding and that we might be encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. So across the Elah Valley, the battle lines have been drawn. The army of the Lord faces their enemy, the Philistines. They are in full battle array, shouting their war cry and waiting for the sound of the trumpet. The Philistines who have invaded Judah are now trespassing on holy ground on the other side of the valley, and they are defiantly challenging the God of Israel to do something about it. It's a tense moment as everyone waits for battle to commence. But a strange thing happens. The Philistines are not advancing. They aren't coming. And at first, the men of Israel think maybe they've won by forfeit. But before they can celebrate, a sight unfolds before them, the likes of which they have never seen before. Something is moving down the slope into the valley towards them. Something big. Something huge. It's like a tree or a mountain. Whatever it is, it's covered in shimmering bronze. It looks like a tank, only they didn't have tanks in those days. The thing got to the middle ground near the ravine, and suddenly a shudder ran through the men of Israel. It's a man, the biggest man they've ever seen. According to the New King James Version, he stands 6 cubits and a span. That doesn't mean anything to us, but if you convert it to our system of measurement, it means he was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. His name, of course, is Goliath. He's clad from head to toe in armor. He wore a bronze helmet and a bronze coat of armor that weighed nearly 57 kilos. He wore bronze shin guards and had a bronze javelin slung over his back. His spear was like a weaver's rod, meaning it was a thick shaft of wood like a small log. The head of the spear had an iron point weighing nearly 8 kilos. Ahead of him marched a soldier carrying a shield large enough to protect his entire body. And so for 40 days, Goliath confronted the Israelites. He challenged them. He taunted them. And rather like Psalm 2, verse 2, he took his stand like the kings of the earth take their stand against the Lord and against his anointed one. And Goliath did this every morning and every evening. The fact was, the Philistines didn't need to do much. All they had to do was send Goliath out, and all the Israelites would shake with fear, for they were too frightened to do anything. Then David arrived at the front line, bringing food for his brothers. And he hears Goliath's booming voice echoing throughout the valley as he once again challenges and taunts the Israelites. We know that David's reaction was to think about going against Goliath, because he asked the question to the men who were standing near him: what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Verse 26. And in the next breath, David reveals his motivation when he says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David is concerned for God's reputation, for his glory, and that no one had included God in the equation of how to deal with Goliath. So into this godless situation, where the impression given is that God is either impotent or dead, David starts asking questions. Doesn't the living God make a difference here? Don't you think God cares about the insults and curses of this uncouth giant against his own people? Why would God allow this uncircumcised Philistine to trample his name in the mud, while Saul and the Israelites can only see a totally invulnerable and overwhelmingly powerful giant shouting at them from across the valley, David sees an uncircumcised Philistine. David's simple questions tell us about the life of faith. Where we start, what questions we ask, make all the difference. Have we ever thought how embarrassing and tragic it is when someone overhears our thoughts and words as we worry about our families, our work, or some other problem, and from what we say, they never guessed we had a living God? In other words, we can sometimes be theoretical believers, but practical atheists. Whilst we maintain we believe in God, how often does God have a place in the equation of our life? How often are we mesmerized by the giant in front of us? When David was brought before Saul, Saul almost dismissed the whole idea of David fighting Goliath. It seemed ridiculous. After all, David was just a teenager, a shepherd boy from Bethlehem. But David was not to be dismissed so easily, and he told Saul that whilst protecting his father's flock, he sometimes had to kill a lion or a bear. Out of past experience, David was able to declare that the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. By looking back in the right way, David was able to look forward in the right way. It's the same for us. When we look back in faith, this enables us to look forward in faith. This is important, for faith is sustained in our present difficulties by the way it remembers the past. Each of us who trust in God carry a memory bank of God's past goodness and grace. It is therefore crucial for our prayers today that we see and remember how God has answered our prayers in the past. That's one reason why we find people with a deep faith often keep a journal, a written record of God's faithfulness, so they don't forget what God has done in their lives. In God's way of things, no experience in life is wasted. It's our job to properly remember and interpret God's past mercy, so that we will trust Him today. Having faith like David is so important, because a part of life is having to confront our giants. Big things, dark things, shadows that blacken or blot out the sun. Who have our giants been? An abusive parent, an unfaithful spouse, a tyrannical boss at work. What have our giants been? Financial giants, career giants, health giants, addiction giants. Maybe there is someone here this morning and it's just dawned on you that the largest giant in your life is the reality you are separated from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We know that when we face our giants, these are defining moments, not just about whether we stand or fall, or whether we advance or retreat, but who we are and who we are becoming. So what are you becoming? If you're a Christian and you're facing a Goliath right now, I'd like to encourage you. If you've been walking with the Lord, if you've been learning to trust Him, then you've seen His power in times past. And if you are learning your lessons of courage and faith, then I want to tell you, if you're facing a giant at the moment, you are ready for the giant. You're going to win the battle, because God has prepared you for this moment. If you are a Christian, there's going to be a time in your life when you will want God's help. You're going to need God's help. And I would suggest that rather than waiting for a crisis to hit you, turn to God now and begin allowing Him to teach you the lessons of faith and trust and courage. Goliath was a huge, big brute of a man, made up of muscle and hate, and was nearly 10 feet tall. Now to me, that's really, really big, but to God, it's very small. You and I tend to focus on our giants because they are so easy to see. We can see our giant, and we can name our giant. It could be cancer, a broken relationship, a financial calamity, or sin. It's so big, we become preoccupied and even dominated by it. But the question should not be whether we can see our giant, but rather can we see God? Behind what we can see is an ever-present, ever-loving, all-powerful God. Hallelujah. If you are facing a giant, then complete this sentence. My giant is. What is your giant? Is it uncertainty of the future? A failure to forgive yourself or others? A health problem? A sense of failure? A sin problem? What is it that is creating the most fear in your life? What is causing you to stay up late at night? What is it that's depressing you? What's disappointing you? What's hurting your heart? Now complete the sentence. My giant is. Then put underneath your completed sentence in big, bold, capital letters, but my God is bigger. David went to face Goliath, not with Saul's armor, but with the full armor of God. Faith, righteousness, the word, and truth. He went out to the place of battle, to that place where the devil had brought an army to oppose God's people. David met Goliath, but it was not the sword that brought the giant down. It was not an arrow, but a stone that crushed Goliath's head. The same way God promised in the Garden of Eden that the head of the serpent, would be crushed. Goliath was a manifestation of that serpent. Maybe we are emotionally strong. Maybe we can handle a lot of pressure, work long hours, day after day. Maybe we are the one who is the emotional anchor in our family and everyone leans on us for support. There are many kinds of strength, but the most important one is the strength we need in the Lord. True Christian strength is not of the body. True Christian strength is of the Spirit, measured in faithfulness, trust, and perseverance. By grace, we live by faith. Our true struggle is against powers and principalities of this dark world and against spiritual forces of evil. There are many things to fight in this world. We can fight sickness, fatigue, the death of a loved one, failure of our plans and hopes, questions without answers, and pain without reason. Yes, we fight in this world, but we also fight in the spiritual world. It is Satan who opposes us. It is he who seeks to sift us and destroy our bodies and souls. Yet for born-again Christians, the blood of Christ has guaranteed our deliverance from that awful end. On the cross, the most decisive battle of human history was fought when our Lord faced the giant of all giants. Up against him were all the hosts of evil in the universe. He went to the cross, putting himself in a contest with Satan, sin, and death. Beneath the cross, they mocked and taunted him, rather like when Goliath taunted David. He claims to save others. Let him save himself. And so one naked, bleeding man hung on a cross, helpless, exposed, dying. But in this awful, cursed death on the cross, Jesus Christ won the battle that liberated the whole universe from the stranglehold of Satan's power. The one who is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root and offspring of David, fought the ultimate Goliath of Satan himself and humiliated him. Jesus Christ forever after became for us the sure sign of victory, which is reflected in the words David said to Goliath just before he killed him. It is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. God has a plan for each of our lives, and it includes confronting giants. A part of God's plan, he wants us to allow the battlefields of our lives to become a platform where the power of God is displayed. Goliath had everything the world said he needed to be a winner. He had size, he had skill, he had experience, he had the right equipment. But when David went about choosing what he'd go to battle with, he chose God. It was probably the most one-sided battle in history and Israel's greatest military victory, all because one man saw life from God's perspective. A whole nation saved, revived, and energized because a young shepherd dared to see life from the top down. David arrived early in the morning, a delivery boy. By sundown, he was a national hero. For that one act of bravery, he was enshrined forever in history. Never again would he be overlooked. Never again would he be taken for granted. The difference between David and the other soldiers was not that he had faith and they had doubts, or that they had doubts and he had none. The difference is this: David acted on his belief and ignored his doubts, while they acted on their doubts and ignored their belief. Now apply this truth to your own life. What giants stand in your way today? Name them. Write them down. Think about how the giants of circumstance and opposition have combined to keep you enslaved to fear and sometimes have driven you almost to the brink of despair. How much longer will you hide in the rocks of fear? When are you going to step into the valley and face the giant eyeball to eyeball? But the giant is big, you say. True, that's why they call him a giant. He's fearsome. I'm sure he is. I might get hurt if I stand up against him. That's true. There are always 1,000 reasons to run away when Goliath stands before you. But whenever you are tired of running, the Lord stands ready to walk into the valley with you. Sooner or later, you've got to peek over the top of the ridge, look into the valley, and take that first step forward. It won't be easy, and there are no guarantees, but you'll never know until you take your heart into your hands and step forward by faith. Faith is not talking about the giant, analyzing the giant, or praying about the giant. Big talk will never slay Goliath. Faith is taking that first step, knees knocking, hands shaking, with fear and trembling, going into the valley in the name of the Lord. You take that first step, not because you think you can do it, but because you know you can't. Therefore, you know that if the giant is defeated, it is because God has done it through you. As we look out upon the world today, we can see giants with evil intentions in full flow. And we can hear their challenges ringing out and taunting the church. Where is your God? Every day a Goliath stands waving his spear high in the air, challenging someone to defend the name of God. And the church seems more often than not afraid that we don't have what it takes to defeat the enemy and reach the world for Jesus Christ. Sadly, much of Christianity in our country has become more occupied with the strategy of the Philistines than with the power of God. Many are just scrambling around trying to find a giant to match the world's Goliath. Some have this strange idea that in order to win the world, we have to become like the world, or at least as close as possible to it. But what's needed are people like David, who believe strength and victory only comes from the Lord. Though we think of ourselves as peace-loving people, once we commit our lives to Jesus, we enter a war zone. The fight is between good and evil, between God and Satan. We who belong to Jesus must not only declare our allegiance, but be ready to defend ourselves and others from attack. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 6, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our real enemies are not human, but demonic. And so we have to face up to those Goliaths who have evil intentions, who want to destroy us, who want to unravel the kingdom of God, who want to attack Christian morals and values. Let's understand the battles we face are not ours. They are the Lord's. Jesus won the greatest battle when he died and rose again. God intends that you stand in victory at the end of the day, but that won't happen without a fight. Christian life is a battleground, not a playground. Christianity is not for those who want to run and hide. It's a religion for strong men and brave women. The evil day may be upon us, but I'm not a pessimist. It's time to put on the armor of God. Let's put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. Let's make sure we're wearing the gospel shoes. Put on the helmet of salvation. Let's pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and head for the sound of battle. We were made for times like this. Stand firm in the evil day. Stand up for Jesus in the power of the Spirit, and victory will be ours. Like David, let's remember that our cause is just. Let's be brave in the Lord, using the skill and weapons he has given us, and he will grant us victory. There is no battle, no problem, great or small, but God will not help us if we ask him. He is ready and eager to deliver us. May God help you face the giants in your life. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church, in River of Life Church, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.